both about Judas and about Pilate. Last week we gave attention to Judas. He really wasn't going to say anything more about him, but hearing about Japan and they have unresolved guilt and depression, that kind of reminded me about Judas. He had unresolved guilt and depression, serious enough depression to kill himself. And part of the improvement from depression is having all that guilt forgiven by trusting in Jesus as Savior. We will go back to Matthew 27, and we'll read the same two verses we started with last time. But this time we'll give attention to Pilate, and we'll stop with Judas. So Matthew 27, verses 1 and 2. Now when the morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. The Jewish courts no longer had death penalty powers. This should have told them that the Messiah had come. Genesis 49:10 said the scepter would not depart from Judah until the one comes to whom would be the obedience of the peoples. The Talmud also says when the Jewish leaders knew that the Romans had taken away the death penalty, they said, "Woe is us. The scepter has come. The Messiah is not here." But the Messiah was there. They took away the death penalty power in about AD 30, and Jesus was doing his ministry. They did not accept him as Savior. They rejected him. If they wanted a death penalty, though, they have to go to Pilate this time. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, all parts of Israel were under King Herod. But after that evil King Herod died, the Romans split up the country into three parts, actually, so that by the time of Jesus' ministry, up north in Galilee, one of Herod's sons, Herod Antipas, was ruling. But down south in Judea, a Roman governor, Pilate, was ruling. They're going to pass Jesus back and forth as we talk more about the trials coming. We'll talk a little bit about Pontius Pilate now. He ruled from 26 to 36. So he ruled while Jesus was a young man. Then he ruled a few more years after Jesus died on the cross, rose, and ascended. In 1960, archaeologists were working on Caesarea, which is actually the Roman capital of Israel and where Pilate lived. And they found a slab. It's like 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet. And it's Pilate's hometown. The slab says Pontius Pilate, Prefect of Israel. We sometimes have cornerstone and foundation for buildings that tell us when it started. But they found one of Pontius Pilate. Already before that slab was found in 1960, there have long been other ancient references to Pilate in at least three other books. Pilate had never got along with the Jews. He's going to fight over the Jesus trial, but he has been fighting for a long time with them. Over the years, I've collected from a Jewish guy in New York City, I've collected Bible coins. And on Pilate's coins, he likes to put pagan symbols. One of them is a meat ladle, which you think is kind of weird to put on a coin, but it's the idea of sacrificing to the false gods and taking the meat broth out with a ladle and pouring it on the sacrifice to the false gods. These were the types of coins Pilate was passing around in Israel, and they hated each other. We know from these other authors outside the Bible some of the things he did. When he first became governor, he marched into Jerusalem with army shields, and the army shields had an image of Caesar. a picture of Caesar on the army shields when Pilate takes over. Because the Jews did not like graven images, they closed work and they closed the streets. And for 6 days they did nothing until Pilate took the images away. Later, Pilate rebuilt the city water supply. He used temple funds to do so, and that made them mad again. So we might call it riot number two, and it's probably referenced in Luke 13, 1 and 2, where it says, Pilate killed the Galileans in the temple and mixed their blood with the animal sacrifices. So riot number one, bringing in the shields. Riot number two, taking money out of the temple treasury for the water supply. Riot number three was the shields again. This time he didn't put any images on it. All he did was have a golden shield with the name Tiberius Caesar. So no images. This time just the name Tiberius Caesar, and they rioted again. And four of Herod's sons wrote letters to the emperor saying, take those shields out of our city. Pilate did not want to, but the emperor sided with the Jews. Take those shields out of the city with the name Tiberius on it. This will relate to what's going on here, because it will say later on Herod and Pilate had not gotten along. And Herod was in town for the Passover, so Pilate's thinking, as I'll make friends with him now, I'll fix it, I'll patch it up, I'll send Jesus over to him. Jesus is a Galilean, we'll let him decide what to do with him. So that's a little bit about Pilate outside the Bible. There's one more thing outside the Bible I would like to talk about when we read some more, so we'll wait on this. Now, verses 3 through 9, we spent last week on them because it was more of Judas, 30 pieces of silver. We did Judas last week, and now we're doing Pilate. And we did the introduction to Pilate. Now we'll come down to verse 11. Matthew 27, next section, verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, it is as you say. You said it. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? Did not answer him with regard to a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. They were not supposed to have trial in the middle of the night. They were not supposed to have it at the high priest's house. It was supposed to be during the day. It was supposed to be in the temple. And Caiaphas had asked him at the house, are you the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus had said, you said it. So he'd already said that same answer to Caiaphas. Now, in early morning, they bring him before Pilate, and Pilate asks the question, are you the king of the Jews? And you have the same answer, you said it. He admitted he is the king of the Jews. In talking to Caiaphas in Luke, it's ego ami. Ego is I. I am the king of the Jews. But he did tell Pilate in John 18, my kingdom is not of this world. So I'm a king, but I'm not taking over the Roman government. I'm not going to be a political king at my first coming. I am king. And Pilate said, what kind of king are you? And he said, I am the king of truth. And Pilate gives what I think is a very agnostic answer. What is truth? He doesn't seem very supernatural when the trial begins. What is truth? There is no truth. But I think Pilate is going to change, and he's going to get from really agnostic to kind of like worried about the supernatural. And that has to do with this dream coming up. Mrs. Pilate will tell him about a dream in verse 19. First, we talk about he wants to give a pardon about either Barabbas or Jesus. And verse 19 is right in the middle of it here in the Matthew text. Only in Matthew. But we'll start about which one do you want for a pardon? Verses 15 through 18. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. And when Pilate gathered together, and when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For they knew that because of envy he had handed him over. Well, Pilate really, right from the beginning, thought that Jesus didn't do anything because he knows for envy they had delivered him. Pilate was to blame for this, but not as bad as the Jews. And the Bible does say this. "He that delivered me to you has the greater sin." All have sinned, and in some sense, we all put Jesus to death. In this actual trial, though, the Jewish people were worse, and the Bible says it. Sometimes it's interesting to watch movies about Jesus. Who do they blame for killing Jesus? And they'll very often put the blame on Pilate because they don't want to be considered anti-Semitic. But actually, in the Bible, it was Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, which we would call the Senate. Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin that had the greater sin. We do not know about Barabbas outside the Bible, but we do know that it's historically true that the Romans did like to give pardons. They like to give a Passover pardon. So the actual event is historically true, even though he's not outside the Bible. There is an old text about AD 200 that says his name was Barabbas, but his first name was Jesus. Now, we don't know that for sure, but if it were sure, it's kind of weird. Do you want Jesus the Christ or Jesus the Barabbas? Which one do you want to be pardoned? I get one. Pilate knew that they delivered him for envy. I have to leave some of this out in here, but envy in, say, the Catholic book, what are the seven deadly sins? And envy is like on the list of the seven deadly sins. Now, there are worse sins than envy. You know, the big long list of the Ten Commandments worse than envy. On the other hand, envy usually gets worse. Envy is wanting what somebody else has and wanting to take it away from them. Jealousy, you just want what they have. But envy is you want what they have, but you want it to take it away from them. And envy is a poisonous sin. It's not as bad as the other sins, but it kind of leads to other things. Cain was envious of Abel. His envy grew to hatred. Then he killed his brother. Saul was envious of David. They keep singing, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands." And that leads to trying to kill David. The chief priests wanted Jesus dead. They were envy. They did not want him to become king of Israel. They did not want him taking their positions. And so envy kind of gets worse and worse and worse. And in that sense, called a deadly sin. We stopped at verse 19. Only in Matthew do we have Mrs. Pilate's dream. Verse 19. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man." He didn't do anything. "Nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." Sitting on a judgment seat, the Greek word is bema seat. We sometimes use that when we're studying 1 Corinthians 3, and it talks about later, after the rapture, that Jesus will give out rewards to believers, and he will sit on his bema seat. Well, that's future prophecy, but that's what this is called here. And it's kind of like they have to wake him up. This is like really early in the morning, right after the rooster crows. It's really early in the morning. They have to wake him up, and they can't go in his house. The chief priests can't go into his house because going into a Gentile house would defile them for the Passover. Galileans had it on Thursday night. Judeans still having it on Friday. Right at 3 o'clock, they'd chop the lambs up right when Jesus dies on the cross. We can't go into your house. And I'll go ahead and review it. Why couldn't they go into a Gentile's house? Because they thought Gentiles did abortions. They thought Gentiles put baby remains in the foundations of the houses. And so they are not going to go inside his house on a Passover, lest they be defiled for the Passover. He has to come outside. Mrs. Pilate sent a message. She had a dream. Now, we don't have this dream outside the Bible, but we have a different dream outside the Bible. Julius Caesar's wife, Calpurnia was her name, she had a dream that he was going to be stabbed. And all Romans were spooked by a wife's dreams, particularly about a death coming. So Julius Caesar's wife did have a dream. And when Mrs. Pilate sent this message, he would be thinking about that. And he'd be a little bit worried about that, because we did know that Julius Caesar's wife had a dream. And they also added to the charges. First, he said he's king. Now he said he is the Son of God. So the message of the dream, shall I say it this day, spooked him. The message of the day spooked him, that I have a dream. And then also he made himself to be out the Son of God. And in John 19:8, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. They told him, if you release him, you are no friend of Caesar. Friend of Caesar was what we would call a political action committee. But also he was worried that maybe one of his friends got executed over in Rome. Let's look at verse 20 for the final section for today. Were you still offering them? Which one do you want? Verse 20, but the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, crucify him. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they kept shouting all the more, saying, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. And there are other cases in Roman history where a judge would wash hands. So he did do this sort of thing. Verse 25, and all the people said, his blood shall be on us and on our children. Then he leased Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. So Pilate was worried about Mrs. Pilate's dream. We don't know her name for sure. A couple centuries later, they call her Procula, believe it or not. But that wasn't quite at the time, but a couple centuries later, the early church fathers used that name of Mrs. Pilate. He said he is the king of the Jews. They said, if you release him, you are no friend of Caesar. At this time, they had just executed somebody back in Rome. The guy's name was Sejanus. There is a possibility that Sejanus and Pilate knew each other. And the emperor would be looking for any of Sejanus' friends. He'd be looking for anybody that might be rebelling against him. And the Jewish leaders say, we're going to go tell on you. We're going to go tell him that you are not a friend of Caesar. Wasn't very good for Sejanus. They stuffed rags in his mouth, tied his hands and legs, and threw him in the river. So, Pilate, we're all going to write letters again, which we've already done. And Caesar sided with us about previous matters. We're going to contact him again. We're going to tell him you are not in what we call a political action committee. You are not a friend of Caesar. And maybe he even knew this guy that just got executed. And when Pilate hears this, it's kind of like he gives up. He did ask again, what evil has he done? But they keep shouting, crucify, crucify. And so Pilate is going to hand them over. One thing I wonder about is on Palm Sunday, a great many crowds were screaming, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even the King of Israel, that Sunday. Here is Friday. Crucify him, crucify him. Either these are two totally different groups, or some that welcomed him on Sunday changed their minds and cried, crucify him on Friday. I'm not sure they were totally different. I got a feeling that some of them that welcomed him on Sunday, he did not become the political king. He did not do miracles to give them everything they wanted. They didn't want salvation and forgiveness. They just wanted stuff. And so some of these same people that welcomed him on Sunday want to kill him on Friday because people are not consistent. And people can change like these people were not consistent, and they can change. So the chief priests and the elders say, we'll take the blame. Later, many of them believe. Acts 6:7, many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. So even this top sin of wanting Jesus to be crucified, even that could be forgiven if they would later ask Jesus to be their Savior. All sins can be forgiven now to anyone who asks Jesus to be their Savior. The musicians, please come.